I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where somebody you know is doing something and you feel rather embarrassed. It's a bit like when you're a teenager and your dad gets up to do whatever the dance of the day is, and you sort of hope your mates don't recognise that he's your dad. Or somebody in the family gets up and says, yeah, I'll have a go at karaoke, and you just sort of, oh dear me. When someone is doing things that we don't want to be associated with, we want to say, well, actually he's not with it, dad. No, you're mistaken, that's not my dad. We hear various stories, don't we, in the press from time to time, and just recently too, where there's been various kinds of abuse in the name of different churches. And we long to distance ourselves, to disassociate ourselves, because we know that's not the sort of thing that Christians should be doing. But there we are. If we're in a situation, somebody comes along and says, ah, you're a Christian, aren't you? And you sort of think, I wish I hadn't let on at that point. Some years ago, I was in a sort of situation that I didn't really want to be in. Somebody had grabbed me by the arm and said, I think we should go and pray for somebody in church. They weren't at church that morning. We'll go to their house. Will you come with me? And I had every confidence in this person because she was the vicar's wife at the time, and I thought, she knows what she's doing. So I said, yeah, okay. So we went in and we knocked on the door, and these were parents of children I know from Sunday school, and we were sort of back-to-back neighbours many years previously. And we went in because when I said, we've come to pray with you. And I was totally embarrassed. I have never done this before, ever, in my life. So I sort of said to these people that I knew very well, it was actually her idea. I was distancing myself from what was happening. I think that turned out to be a blessing to that person and to us in the end. Most people have an idea about what they expect from a Christian, how they should behave. And they're very quick to point the finger when they fail to measure up to their expectations. How can we avoid giving anybody cause to say, if that's a Christian, then I don't want to be one? Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that's what I want my life to be like. And how can we do that without coming over as being holier than thou or having a sort of arrogant attitude that we know it all? The verses that we've just read are a sort of blueprint for Christians to live by, so that people might say, if we live by them, I want to be one of them. When Jesus was speaking these words, it's part of what's commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've read it all the way through Matthew 5 and 6, you find that what is happening, Jesus is calling the religious leaders of the day to task. They were following the law of Moses that we find in our Old Testament, but they put so many bits and pieces on it that you should do this, you should do that. Of course, this really means this, so it tells us to do that. And when Jesus said at this particular point, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, he was talking to them, the Jews, the religious leaders, and they were considered to be God's chosen people. If you know anything at all about the Old Testament, you know they were God's chosen people, and they were meant to be living distinctively amongst all the other pagan nations surrounding them. I think it's true for us today. Jesus is saying to us, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus is calling us to live distinctive lives amongst the people we mix with, our family, our friends, our neighbours, work colleagues, within our church fellowship. Salt of the earth is a common saying, and it's often applied to anyone who is helpful and kind and has a positive influence on people's lives. So if being the salt of the earth is about having a positive influence in society, then it seems to me it's not exclusively a Christian activity. Earlier this week, Lindsay and I were having a little bit of, I think we might call it collaborative sermoning preparation. I'm only saying that to impress the vicar. But we were talking and we were saying, what is the difference between someone who's called salt of the earth and the fact of Christians being salt and light in society? There must be something different then for Christians. We have to ask, what's Jesus getting at when he says we are to be the salt of the earth? When Jesus gives us the name salt, it's as if he's saying we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence in the world. People in general don't realise the importance of salt in maintaining life and health of our bodies. There's an exact percentage and it's always present in our bloodstream, and any great deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even death. How often when we visit somebody in hospital are they there with a saline drip for whatever reason? Somebody once said, always have a unique character as a Christian like salt. Its presence is not felt, but its absence makes things tasteless. Salt has got many uses, and we might just think about them for a moment or so. It's got a preserving ability. I wonder how many of us can look back and remember when we were children, when Dad came in for the garden with loads of kidney beans, string green beans, and Mum would cut them up and she would layer them in salt, and then these would be preserved and were fetched out of the larder sort of months ahead. They were horrible. I don't even like beans much now. I think it put me off forever. Salt wards off rot and decay, and it's rubbed into meat in an effort to preserve it. So it is in society today that our Christian presence, that our prayers, if you like, are salty. Christians can do much to preserve our community and nation more than anything else we could name. This is why we pray for our nation. We pray for other lands and other situations, for people we've never met. But we believe our prayers count. I heard many years ago of a doctor, and he'd got a number of patients. He was a Christian, and he thought, wouldn't it be great if somebody was praying for these heart patients on my ward? So he set up a bit of an experiment. He went to the Christians in his local church and he said, I want you to pray for five Christians, A, B, C, D, E. They had no idea of names. The patients didn't know they were being prayed for, but he knew who they were on his list of patients. And the other five in the ward didn't get any prayer. And he discovered at the end of a period of time that the five unnamed patients that had been prayed for seemed to make a better recovery than the ones who hadn't been prayed for. Christians are to be like salt, and part of our saltiness is that we can pray. Salt has a remarkably cleansing ability. Salt in a wound, ouch, can cleanse the area. It can have a purifying effect in the world around us. We ought to behave differently in our relationships, in the workplace, etc. Some years ago, I was on the parochial church council, and we actually had an outside visitor to the meeting to give something of their knowledge on a particular issue that was being addressed at the time. And the whole issue was discussed. The input of the expert was given. I haven't a clue what the decision was now. But I did hear later from the vicar of the time, that person that came and said, do you know, I'm used to going to meetings of people where they argue, they disagree with each other, and they might drop the odd swear word. He said, but it's quite a refreshing change to come to a meeting with Christians where they listen to each other's opinions. They might have a different opinion, but it's such a different atmosphere. This is what we're meant to be when we're being salt and light. Bringing out the best. Salt blends and adds flavour to food. In the same way you and I are called to bring out the best in those around us. Salt creates a thirst for water in those who are exposed to it. You know what it's like if you've had salty food. A bit later, you're longing for a drink. As salt, we have the opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus in the world. Remember what Jesus said, if anybody is thirsty, let them come to me. When we take the call of Jesus seriously and live right, look right, act right, talk right, worship right, our lives must be above reproach if we are to create a thirst for God in the world around us. Where people want to say, if that's a Christian, I want to be one. Not, if that's a Christian, I don't ever want to be one. In Bible times, when the salt had lost its saltiness, it was taken out and put onto paths. It was trampled on. It was used to kill the weeds. And Jesus has got that warning in the Bible passage that we read together. It's possible for Christians to lose their saltiness and not to be useful for anything. This happens when perhaps, just like salt in ancient times, that when it was exposed to the atmosphere, eventually lost its saltiness, the type of salt that it was. We need to be aware that if we want to be salt in our community, we need to watch to make sure that our opinions are not just how the world sees things, but they come from God's word. I want you to know this, and if there's anybody here that can explain it to me, then see me afterwards. Light, we know, is something that makes vision possible. The sensation aroused by stimulation of the visual receptors and electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet and X-rays, and travelling in a vacuum with a speed of 1,828 miles per second. That is what light is like. Where do we get, well, do we do that for Christians? We can thank God for light. It can save us from making the kind of mistakes we would only make in darkness. I found this rather amusing. Well, it's amusing to me. Apparently, back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his girlfriend. Why, when I went a courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark. Yes, the hired man said slowly, look at what you got. How many of us have come to faith because of the light of another Christian, a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader in the students' union. We know that the moon shines because its surface reflects light from the sun. In the same way, our lives should reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more powerful testimony than a life which displays the proof of the presence of the fruit of the Spirit as we reflect to the world some of the qualities of Jesus, our Saviour. God can use the light of our witness and testimony to warm a person's heart, to draw them into a relationship with Jesus. When we shine, we are reflecting Jesus in the lives of others, and his light is being reflected by us. It's a means of bringing the light of heaven into the lives of people we mix with. How many times recently in the last few weeks have we seen days of gloomy, dreary weather suddenly replaced with the gleaming light of the sun? You get a shaft of sun through. How often when we felt cold have the chilling fingers of winter instantly lost their grip as we feel the warmth of that sun for a brief moment or two? We've all seen dreary days immediately transformed by the appearance of light. God puts opportunities in our ways, if you like, to reflect something of that light. Just over a week ago, I was visiting a friend in hospital, and as I said goodbye, I'm walking along the corridor, and I suddenly thought, oh, Yvonne was due to go into A&E this morning. I wonder if she's been admitted here. So I asked at the reception desk, and they said, yes, we have got that patient. This is about just after 9 o'clock at night. So I thought, I'll sort of chance my arm and say, do you think I can go and say hello? Yes, go in. And when I went in, it just so happened, it was the right moment for Yvonne. She was feeling very downcast. It was before the news that the cancer wasn't going to be so bad for her as she thought it was. And we were able to chat and pray together. When we're being salt and light, God will take us and he will use us, if we allow him to, in certain situations. There will always be times when we are called to dispel the dreariness in someone's life, to shine a little light. Notice Jesus talks about people not hiding their light, and he says that we're like a city on a hill. I think the church is like that. Some of you remember a couple of years ago when the church became the light, like a city on the hill, to Jordan Burndred's family, when he was so terribly, desperately ill and eventually died. Family and friends were able to come into the light, if you like, of this building to gain some light into the darkness they were experiencing. We might think we've fulfilled our calling to be a witness when we come to church. When we come in here, it's to worship Jesus and to be equipped to go out there. And when we step through those doors, we are entering, if you like, the mission field. We're to go out from this place into a dark world. We're called to tell them about Jesus, who loves them and will save them if they come to him by faith. This is our mission. Jesus encourages us not to hide our light, our candle, under a bowl. There was once a young man who became a Christian, and he went off on a holiday job. His vicar became concerned about him because he knew it would be a difficult situation to be a Christian, to be a light for the Lord. So after the summer was over, the boy returned, and the vicar said, son, I want you to know, I knew you'd just become a Christian. I knew it was going to be difficult for you. So I prayed for you while you were working in that summer job. I was praying that they wouldn't make it too difficult for you, too hard on you. And the young man said, oh no, vicar, I didn't have it hard in that job. You know, in fact, none of them ever found out I was a Christian. When Jesus is really in our life, we should have a difficult time hiding his light. People should know that we are Christians. Roz has already mentioned the church experience. And we were talking about stained glass windows in my group. And we were talking about the halo and what it meant. Artists just try to indicate there's something special about Jesus. And there should be something special about us. Have you ever met a stranger and thought, I'm going to chance it and say, are you a Christian? Because there's something about them. People should know. I'm going to read that passage again from The Message, which is a modern translation. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavours of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lies by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father. Salt and light have the ability to alter and influence the world. And when Jesus used these common everyday images, he wants us to understand how we might be an influence in the world we live in. In a moment, we're going to say a prayer together. But just to give us a moment, time to think. We've already shared the things that we've been up to, perhaps in the previous week, or that are bringing us joy in our lives. Let's just take time to think. When we go out of that door, how are we going to be salt and light in the coming days? So, do you want to stay there and avoid the step?
She went up to Carol afterwards and said, I'm sure there's somebody who needs our prayers. And I don't know who it was, but then he came up to her and said, I think Dorian needs some prayers. And I was from home by then. Anyway, they came up to her house and they prayed with us. And it took all the fear away, and I went to the hospital. Had the operation and there's the blessing for the cross in our hands. But that was your part of the story. Thank you, Carol. She said it's the first time she's ever done this. She's probably prayed 10 minutes since. Thank you.
Thank you for that,
Tori.
Let's never be afraid to overcome our embarrassment to be salt and light. Can we pray together using these words? Lord Jesus, I offer my ordinary everyday life to you. Help me to use all the opportunities to be salt and light to those I come into contact with each day. May my actions cause others to worship you. Amen.